he be adored. May we worship him this morning. Just may our hearts, all of our hearts, be turned to him in with the desire to please him and to honor him. I just say, the heavens do declare the glory of God, what God has made, and that includes you and I. Perhaps even maybe the ones that we struggle with sometimes, you know. Actually, that is true. God created all of us, and God is in control of all those things, and he wants praise. He wants adoration, and that's what we owe to him. I do want to extend Christian greetings and welcome everyone here, especially those of you that are here visiting. I trust that you can just enter into worship with us and you can participate in worshiping God. just a very beautiful thing, how God, it doesn't matter where we're from, it doesn't matter where what backgrounds we come from, if our heart is turned towards God and our heart is truly going after God, we will find fellowship. We will find encouragement in Jesus Christ and in his word. For an introduction here, I'd like to just share a little story here. It was on, I believe it was April 4 of 1943, that there was a bomber, that was en route from... It was Naples, Italy, I believe it was. They were coming back. They had been sent on a mission, and that mission was to bomb that. They were sent on that mission to bomb Naples. There, they were coming from Libya, which is in another part of Africa. They just went across the Mediterranean Sea there, and anyway, they had had some difficulties, had some sandstorm and things that made flying difficult. Some of the planes, there were other planes that were with this one. This plane's name, the nickname or the name was Lady Be Good. There was, I think, a group of 12 planes, but this one here for some reason got separated from the others, due to some of the storms and so forth. Eight of the 13 turned around and gave up and went back home, went back to their base, and four of them continued on to proceed with the bombing and so forth. This one, I'm not sure if it actually even did any bombing or not. I'm not sure what happened with that part of it, but they got disconnected from the others and flew back towards Libya, towards their base again, after they, I guess, felt like they had to go back. And at about 12, a little bit after midnight, the pilot there radioed to the base and said that, hey, their automatic direction finder wasn't working right, and he asked them to locate their base, which to do that they shot up some flares to try to get, you know, it was nighttime and they were hoping they could see him. But it was even there at Libya, I guess, where they were going, there was enough of sandstorm And maybe, I'm not even sure, they were so far away they couldn't see it. Anyway, they didn't see it. And they flew right on past. This was at middle of the night. Of course, this was back in 1943. Probably not as many lights as you have nowadays when you go past cities now as far as nighttime. But they flew on past and kept on going, thinking that they're still on track. And they had a had an instrument in their plane. Like he said there, the pilot said that it failed. It was an automatic direction finder, or a short form ADF. I think Brother Albert might know what those things are used for. Maybe not. Okay. Any pilot would know, at least especially the old-time pilots, old-school pilots. That thing there, it gave them a direction point. They could, based on the settings on that thing, they could point it to a certain direction, and that would tell, it had a fixed transmitter on the ground that it, I'm not sure if it was frequency. I think it was a certain frequency that you would tune it to, and it would tell you that you're right in, or it would tell you where, what direction that was from where you're headed. Like, for instance, if that point was over here to the right of you, that needle would point over this way. If it was over behind you, it would point over here, and it had the degrees on the outside there. And that way they could steer their airplane to line it up to, they realized, okay, so my base is over here, but I need to fly around the bottom side and come up. They could use that as a reference point, but he said it wasn't working. I looked up a little bit of what had happened there. I didn't find the information that I had heard earlier, so I'm not quite sure, but I've also heard say that they had a strong tailwind, and that's what blew them past it sooner than they had thought that they were going to be there. And so when he thought it wasn't working, it was actually they had passed it, and it now was showing that it was behind it. The place where they were going was supposed to be, or wanting to go, was actually behind them, and he thought it had failed. I couldn't actually find that here when I was looking it up again. But anyway, that was the last communication that they had, was just after midnight. The crew, there was 9 men, they kept on flying on south. Libya is on the top side of Libya. The base was on the top side of Libya, the very edge of the Mediterranean Sea. And so they were supposed to be coming in there, but they kept on flying past, right from Italy down to down across their base where they were headed to, right, went right on, straight on through, and kept on going for another 2 hours until they basically ran out of fuel. And of course, they thought they were over water, or at least there's some speculation they thought they were over water, because there's no lights, nothing, looked, you know, dark. Out over the desert, so they bailed out. They jumped out of the plane, but then they headed north. They headed back north, basically the same way that they had just flown, trying to find help. And of course, none of them found any help. They all died there in the desert, all 9 of them. Had they stayed with the plane, possibly, and who knows, if they would have stayed on the plane, just did a belly landing with the thing, they might have been able to, because the plane was pretty much intact. They left the plane just fly by itself, and it landed by itself, and it was pretty much intact where they found it years later. But had they either continued on just a little bit further, it wasn't just, I think it's, I forget how many kilometers it was south of where they were. If they had just continued on, they would have found an oasis, possibly, and could have survived. But they went the opposite way and went back where they thought help was. But my point is, they didn't believe this thing anymore. They lost confidence in their instrument, and they kept on going. and it was to their own destruction. It was to their own death. The title of my message this morning is Jesus, the Way, the Truth, and the Life. Jesus, the Way, the Truth, and the Life. I know that illustration, that story might not fit completely, but Jesus has provided a way for us. A little bit like that instrument. He's provided us the way. He's provided us the word. And if we no longer believe it, we'll do exactly like those men did. They just kept on going. We're like, something's wrong. Instead of thinking, you know what, they might be wrong. And that's the same thing we need to do. When we think this is wrong, that we're not, this can't be true, maybe we'd better reconsider and recognize that Jesus is the way. And like Brother Marcus shared this morning, something to the extent of Jesus or of God, his righteousness being forever, his judgments are everlasting, and his truth stand assured. There's verses like that that talk about that. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. I'd just like to point our hearts to Jesus, and I'd like to look at those three different aspects of Jesus. Jesus is the way. He doesn't just simply show us the way. He doesn't just simply show us the truth. He doesn't just simply point us to the life. He is the way. He is the truth, and he is the life. It's not just something that he points. I can point you to Jesus as the way. But Jesus doesn't do that. Jesus is the way. There's a difference there. Turn to John chapter 14. Very familiar verses to us, but let's not forget this ADF, this automatic direction finder, was very familiar to the pilots. You know, just something they use. These also are a very familiar passage. This is a very familiar passage. Let's not forget the fundamental value, the fundamental truth that's found in these things, that we cannot, if we lose confidence in who Jesus is, we will also lose our way. Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. Let not your heart be troubled. In verse 1 there in chapter 14. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. And Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. How can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. I'm going to stop there. Jesus said there in verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. When we look at the way, when he is the way, what is a way? What if you think of a way? They're, you know, some people nowadays, especially if you think about spiritually, people want to proclaim, say, there's many ways to God. There's many ways to maybe live a right life. There's many ways to that. There are not many ways. There's one way. There's one way, and that's through Jesus Christ. There is only one way. That way is a road. It can mean a road, and perhaps it's a it can be a by implication like a progress, you know, a route, and also a mode or a means of doing something. But a way, if you think of, you get yourself into trouble. If we get ourselves into trouble, we need a way out. You know, I get myself in financial debt, extreme debt. You know, I just can't make my ends meet. Why? I want a way out. You know, we look for a way out, and that way out is a path for us to get above that financial debt. That way out is that. And the same way we find ourselves, why do we even need a way as human beings? Why, you know, why do we even need a way? It's because we are condemned to die. We are what happened there in the Garden of Eden. Man has sinned, and God says that the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And all of us have that sinful nature. All of us have that, what I want to do, my own way, desiring our own things. Like we heard, I believe it was last week on Sunday, Brother John, or one of the brothers was mentioned that the world, what the world is, the lust of the eye, the pride of life, and the lust of the flesh, those things. Those are things that we are bound to. And we need a way out. We need a way out. We need to be saved. We need to be born again. We need to be changed. And Jesus is that way out. Jesus is that avenue for us to find help. He is the road. He is the way out. He is the one that gives us that direction. He's like that transmitter or that ADF, that communication there. He points us to the way out. He points us to where we need to go. And he actually is the way. He is the road. There is no other way to God and to heaven but through Jesus Christ. Maybe we could just simply, instead of being so serious about life, maybe we could just simply spend 20 minutes each day reading my Bible, and maybe just make sure we're always there at church on time. Maybe that would satisfy the need of my heart. Maybe I could just be a good person, and maybe that would get me entrance into heaven. Maybe I could just clean up my life and wear the right clothes, please the church. That's not the way. That's not the way to heaven. The way to heaven really is only through Jesus Christ. There's no other way. There's only one way, and that is through Jesus Christ and what he has done for us. He has made a way through what he has done there on the cross. He is our atonement, like it says in Hebrews, I believe it is. He's our high priest, it talks about him being a priest after the order of Melchizedek. He is our redeemer. He is the way. In Acts chapter 4, verse 10 to 12, there was a lot of professing godly people there in Acts chapter 4. I'm not sure, did I say 4 or chapter? It's chapter 4. That's what I'm wanting to look at, verse 10. There was a lot of Jewish people gathered around there, and they had just seen a miracle. They had just seen something, a big miracle happened there when I believe it was the lame man was filled, or it was I'm sorry, was he? They were, Peter and John were in prison, put in prison, and they had been they had laid hands on them, and they had wanted to make them be quiet and not preach anymore. Then also, maybe if we would start, let's start back in verse 7, actually, get a little bit of context there. It says, and when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power and by what name have you done this? And this was talking about them healing that man that came that when they walked into the temple there. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, saith unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to this impotent man, by what means he was made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which the builders set at naught, this is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is made the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name given under heaven. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Peter is proclaiming, he's saying it's only through Jesus Christ. There is no other way. There's absolutely nothing else that will bring us salvation. These were professing Christians, would you say? I mean, they were Jewish people. I don't think they were actually proclaiming to be a part of Christ at all like we have today. Today we have those that are professing Christians and also do not believe Jesus sincerely being the way and being the only way to God. And today we have people that and I think we can tend to maybe we can get influenced by this spirit of, you know, we're just tolerating other religions and, oh, well, you know, if you want to believe this way, if you want to believe that way, that's fine. It's not fine, because unless it agrees with the Word of God, unless it agrees with God, what the Lord teaches, we won't get there. I mean, people can think the way they want to. God has given us the free will. We can think the way we want to, but the fact is, we're going to be also judged by this word. We're going to be judged by this. There is no other way. There is no other way to God. And I guess my plea with for us all, for me included, is that we never lose sight of that Jesus is the only way to God. There is no other way. Absolutely not. There's nothing that I can do. There's no kind deed I can do to overshadow or to blind or to appease God or to even to better myself before God other than Jesus. Jesus is the only way for me to come to God. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name given, none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus is the way. Also, just quickly, you don't have to turn to this. John chapter 10, verse 7 to 9, it says, Then said Jesus unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came unto me... All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep do not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Here again, Jesus is the door. And this, again, simulates or would be an entrance into the way. Jesus is the entrance into that way, as well as being the way. Also, just like to point out there in Proverbs 4, verse 12, I'm sorry, Proverbs 14, verse 12, it says, "There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." Do you understand what that means? It's talking about a way. There's a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. There's many people out there seeking for something. Something that would possibly bring peace. Something that would possibly bring fulfillment in their life. They're seeking. Actually, most everybody is seeking if they haven't found Jesus Christ. And even if they've found Christ, unless we continue to seek after him, we can lose sight of that. But most everyone is seeking. They're seeking for peace. They're seeking for something that will satisfy. And just yesterday, we were looking for two men that were lost out in the hills of north or northern part of Tennessee here. But what I don't know much about their life, but what I do, or what I heard about their life was not a very good life. Involved in drugs, involved in some of those things. They were seeking something. Today, we don't know where they're at. We don't know where they're at. We still don't know where they're at, even though we spent some time looking for them. But they were seeking something. They were looking for something. They were looking for something to bring fulfillment in their life. But just like many others, results in death. It results in death when we seek it in our own way. We want to have the fun now. We want to have the enjoyment now. We want to fulfill all the pleasures of our flesh. We want to have those things because it seems good. It's appealing. It's fun. It's not so hard. It's an easier road than taking the cross and following Jesus and being so serious about my life and really being dedicated and committed to following the Lord. And so we do what seems best. We do what seems easiest for us. And if we do that, it's death. If we do that, if we continue to walk, not saying that if just the very first step that we take in those things, I mean, we all fail. We all have failed. But if we continue to walk in those ways, it brings forth death. It really does. It brings forth death. Even though we're living still, it brings death in our life. It's a walking on the road to death, not in the road to life, the road of life. It's a way of death. It talks about that in Proverbs. There. It says, the end thereof are the ways of death. When we just follow what seems good to us, we no longer have confidence in the truth. We no longer have confidence that this, you know what, this is my life. This is the way. This is the way that I need to go. We're no longer convinced that Jesus is the way. And we look for it in other things. Maybe it's in hunting. Maybe it's in fishing. Maybe it's in other enjoyments of this life. And those things aren't wrong in and of themselves. But if we seek those things to bring satisfaction and joy to our heart, we're going to come up empty. I mean, don't you feel that way? That's how I felt when I put myself into those things. And I thought, oh, if I just only did this, if we just would do this, maybe as a family, or maybe just for myself, if we would just do this, this would just really satisfy. This would really just whatever. And the day's done, and it's like, ugh, why did I waste my time on that? You know? And that's really what Proverbs is saying. When we just do what seems right, it's a waste of death. But the opposite can be true. When we make Jesus our Lord, we look to Him for our life and our hope and our guide. Just this morning, again, just looking at these words, I was deeply, richly encouraged, and I hope you can be as well. I was feeling very, very wore out and tired. Of course, naturally. So, with spending a day walking walking in woods in the woods yesterday, wasn't totally really planned for. But I was wore out, and I was feeling very exhausted. And I wasn't quite sure how in the world I can keep my mind straight to study and so forth. But I was very, very encouraged. That's what the Word of God does to us. That's what it does. When we purpose, I didn't feel like getting up this morning. I didn't, but I got up. And just again, just seeking the Lord this morning and the refreshment in His Word and the peace and the joy and the blessing and the direction we find in God's Word. Such a blessing. Jesus, the way. Jesus is the way. He's also the truth. Let's turn to John chapter 1. John chapter 1, starting in verse 14. Jesus, the truth. He doesn't just have truth. Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the truth. In John chapter 1, verse 14, it says, the Word was made flesh. This is talking about Jesus, was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of Him and cried, saying, "This is He, this was He of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for He was before me, and of His fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the truth. And if Jesus was that tangible, touchable truth that came in the flesh, they could actually touch Him. I know we can't today. We just have to receive that by faith, that what we read in the Word and testimony and so forth. But Jesus is the truth, and He is still living today. He is still alive. He is still Lord of Lords and King of Kings. But he was that Word that became flesh and it dwelt among us. He walked this life out in truth. And it also talks about grace and truth. But He is that truth. He didn't just simply share a bunch of good, you know, this morning I can share a lot of maybe good, valuable lessons for you to take home. But I am not the truth. Truth doesn't stop here. It doesn't end by me. I'm not the source of truth. I'm just sharing what truth He is. I'm just sharing that with you. Jesus is the truth. And just to give you some direction, you're flying this plane. You're flying along. You're flying along in life. And everything else is in chaos. Storms are going on. And you don't know what is right and what is wrong. I want you to take this home. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. If you anchor yourself around that and you make that connection, you make sure that your confidence is in Him and Him alone, that will keep you. That will keep you. I'm confident that that will keep you to the end. That you won't end up erring from the truth. The truth, it's absolute. It's not just relative. It's not just relative. It's absolute. There's an absolute truth. The truth, it's just simply the truth. I looked it up in Strong's, and it's just the truth. It's very, very basic. It's truth. That's what it is. Jesus is the truth. And it's a beautiful thing. It's just, to me, it was just a blessing. Again, like I said, just pondering on these thoughts of Jesus being the way. He is the way. He is the truth. And He's the life. Just a very, it's a firm foundation. It's like even here, I'm up here on this platform here, it's solid. I'm not afraid about falling. If I were on maybe on a waterbed or something like that was, more wavy and stuff, I'd be more concerned about my balance here. I'm not so concerned about it. And it, the same way, if we build our life on the truth, we put our roots down into the truth. We focus on Jesus Christ being our truth, being our foundation. We can walk with confidence. It gives us confidence when we have Jesus as our foundation, the truth. Also in John chapter 8, if you could turn to that. John chapter 8, verse 32, I'm sorry, 31 and 32. John chapter 8. Verse 31 and 32, I'm just grabbing two verses here. It says, Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, if ye continue in My word, then are ye My disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. We see something here that happens. If you practice the little bit of truth, and I found it that way for myself, and I believe it, you will find it that way as well. The little bit of truth that you know, you maybe think, oh, I don't know, I need to understand all these things before I can, I need to be able to understand the whole picture before I can step out in faith and I can walk. I don't believe you have to, because what this is saying here, it says here, if you continue in My word, then are you My disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And I believe it's a present continuous. It's something that continues to happen. You apply the little bit of truth that you know in your life. Maybe you know that you should obey Dad. Dad gave you some direction in the home. And you know that truth. Walk in that truth. You don't understand, all the reasons why Dad said this, and maybe what foundational theology that he's basing his idea from, and all those things. But you just simply obey the little bit of truth. You step forward in truth there. I believe God will illuminate that path. He says, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And it truly is freedom. It truly is freedom. It's not bondage. Truth is never, it never brings bondage. Not true, not the truth that comes from God. It's never bondage. Sometimes people put people, we can wrest the scriptures like it talks about. We can twist things to our own shaping and so forth. But the truth, yes, it doesn't make the flesh feel good. It kills the flesh. That doesn't feel good. And in that way, maybe it seems like bondage. But if we want to if we want to serve the Lord, it's freedom. Truth brings freedom. It really does. And Jesus is that truth. Jesus is that truth that gives you direction when the times are difficult. and you don't know what way to take. How in the world am I going to get out of this? Jesus is the truth that directs you. He's the one that gives you that solid fact, that solid foundation for you to just step forward with. And of course, a lot of the teachings of truth that he has for us are found in the Word here. A lot of those things I know I'm just giving you kind of an overall picture of that, but and of course, the whole gospel, the whole Word, the Bible is the truth. And Jesus was a demonstration of that. Jesus was that in the flesh when he came here on this earth, and he demonstrated that to us. He's also the life. Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the life. Turn to John chapter 5. It's interesting how so many of these facts or these even the pictures of Jesus being demonstrated as the way, the truth, and the life. I found it interesting in looking up cross-referencing and so forth. Many of these scriptures are found in John's testimony, John's the Gospel of John and 1 John and so forth. John seemed to have some insight of, I don't know, the person of Jesus and so forth, maybe in a deeper way than some others did. I found it interesting just the different pictures, the word pictures that John used there. In John chapter 5, verse 24 through 29, John chapter 4, verse 24 to 29. Jesus was just ending there his conversation with the woman at the well. He says, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And the woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, and I'm sorry, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. And Jesus said unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. I'm reading in the wrong chapter, I think. I said chapter 4. It's chapter 5 is what I wanted. Sorry. Chapter 5, verse 24. I was in chapter 4, I was like, where is this context here? John chapter 5, verse 24. It says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Again, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And one time, he's foretelling here of one time, there's a time coming when he's going to speak, and even the dead are going to hear his voice. Even the dead are going to hear his voice, and there's going to be life. His life is going to flow out in such a powerful way that they will hear, and they're going to be alive. And those that have done good, it says, unto resurrection of life, and those that have done evil unto resurrection of damnation. And even though there's a resurrection for those that are dead, that have done evil, done wrong, they will also be made alive in a new body or a new being, but it will be to damnation. It will be for judgment forever. There's other scriptures that point to that, that talk about where the worm dieth not, the fire is not quenched, and the everlasting punishment that is coming for those that do not do his will. But Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He's the one that life, he is that life. And when he speaks life, things happen. He did that, I was just reading in my personal devotions the other day, he was doing that to a woman, ruler of the synagogue, Jairus by name, there you go. He was on his way to his house, and he had said, my daughter is sick. And then while he was on the way, some of his servants came, and they said, you know what, don't bother the master anymore, she's dead. Jesus said, oh, no, don't worry about it, she's just sleeping. You know, Jesus is walking around, he is the life, he is life. She's dead, but he's life. And so he was like, this is no problem. She's just like, she's sleeping. I can just go and shake her, and I can just take her by the hand, and she's life. She can be brought back to life because I am life. Jesus is life. And it's something that we can relate to in the physical life, that we can see Jesus brought life, even in the physical life. He is life. And I believe even some of that, like you were mentioning earlier, Brother John, the creation and Marcus speaks of that life. When you look at creation, you see life. You see, it's not death. I mean, yes, there is also death, but he is the one that keeps these things going. He is that life. And for you and I, spiritually, he also is that life. If we find ourselves dead, if we find ourselves lost, condemned, hopeless, he is that life. And he can reach into our heart, reach into our life, reach into our soul, into our spirit, and bring life. Jesus talks about, I didn't have this verse written, but I think, or marked down, but I think it'd be good for us to look at that verse in John chapter 3, those verses there, where Jesus talks about being born again. That's part of that new life coming in. It's part of that life from him flowing into our hearts. As we open our hearts to him, it brings life to us. In verse 5, chapter 3 in John there, it says, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. God wants to make us new. God wants to make us new. Right now, we're as a family, we're having the enjoyment of watching these little caterpillars produce their chrysalis, and they, of course, they look kind of like, especially if you don't like worms, they look a little ugly. Some of us probably wouldn't find them as the prettiest little things, little creatures crawling around, and they're kind of just not most pleasing or to look upon. They're crawling around, they're eating these leaves, and the way they do it. And I tell you what, I just marvel at how God, he just, for me, it's quite simple for me to think, oh yeah, God just spoke the word and let there be light, and let there be fish, and let there be all these things, and poof, it was, and you know, God just had all these things happen. That's not hard for me to believe and trust and whatever. But this is just another miracle that's happening again and again, year after year. These caterpillars, they crawl along and they eat these things, and they just keep getting fatter, and even as they're growing, they shed their skins a couple of times. They grow so fast, they can't grow, their skin can't stretch fast enough, so it bursts and it gets another skin on top of it, or it actually has a skin underneath, and then it continues on with life. But then when they grow into this chrysalis, it can completely, they hang there for a little bit, and then when it goes in chrysalis, it shrinks into this little bondage, whatever you would call it. But something wonderful happens inside there. Something wonderful happens. That thing, that caterpillar didn't used to have wings. It didn't used to have legs like that. I mean, it has little short little stubbies when it's got these, when it's a caterpillar, but now it has, I think it's 6 legs, right? That's how an insect does. I think it's 6 legs. And they're long legs. They're skinny legs. They have a tongue now. They don't bite things now. They lick. They completely different. Completely different. When the life of God comes into us, we're completely different. We're completely different. He continues to work that in us from grace to grace, from glory to glory. That's the life of God. And God wants us. Maybe you have a little bit of that life. Maybe you have experienced some of that. I would just like to encourage us. God, Jesus is that life. Let's follow him. Let's go after him with all of our heart. And let him be our focus. Like those pilots flying along. When the direction is different than what we would imagine. The direction is maybe not, it doesn't appeal to the flesh. It hurts. Maybe it makes me be an oddball. Maybe I have to give up something. And it's really hard. And you're like, Lord, really? You can't really be saying that, Lord. Surely not. I think we're still going right, and we just keep on plowing on instead of following this instrument, the Word of God and His Spirit. Instead of following that, we just plow our own way. I'm sorry, the end's going to be death. The end's going to be death. If we get our eyes off of the Lord, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. In closing, I think I'll just close here with a verse in Revelation chapter 17. You can turn to that. Revelation chapter 17. It says, the Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. That water of life is given out freely. And Jesus wants to give that out to each one of us. He desires to give that out to us. He desires to pour that out, to pour out that water of life freely. The Spirit and the Bride say, come, and let him that heareth say, come, and him that is athirst, let him come. That's the cry of Jesus. Jesus also said one time, he cried with a loud voice and said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You know, sometimes we're tired, sometimes we're wore out, sometimes we don't feel like we have much life. Sometimes we feel exhausted. Those of us that are walking with the Lord, maybe we feel exhausted in the battle and continuing on when others are losing their way. Maybe when others are critical of maybe the life that we've chosen to live for the Lord. But Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest, that life-giving rest. Jesus here in Revelation, it says, anyone that's athirst, let him come. Let him take of the water of life freely. I think also the verse in the Old Testament, I didn't look that up, but it came to my mind, where God was giving the children of Israel a choice. And he said, this day I give you He basically presented life and death. And he said, choose which one you want. But he encouraged them. He said, please choose life. That's putting it in my own words. But he's saying, please choose life. I've got life for you. I've got life for you. Every one of you. That's what God is saying. Life, if we seek life anywhere else outside of Christ, just by having our own way, just by going our own way, we're going to be disappointed. We're going to be disappointed, just like those pilots were. They were flying along, and finally, their fuel ran out. Our fuel is going to run out. We're not going to be able to hold up. We're going to crash, and we won't find help if we don't go to Christ, to Jesus Christ. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. There's no other way to God but through Him. But He is all that. He is all that. We have nothing that we need. We have nothing that we lack when we look to Him. He is all of those things. Seek Him. That's my encouragement to you this morning. Seek Him with all of your heart. Those of you that know Him, continue to do that. Continue to do that. Those that don't know Him, my plea is seek Him. Seek Him with an honest and a pure heart. God bless you.